The reading is taken from Psalms 78, verses 1 to 7. My people, hear my teachings. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide from them and their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed his status for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they will put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all on this day for celebration. I wasn't going to say this, but we do have to celebrate the Scots yesterday, just for the Scots among us. When I was about 14 or 15, we lived in a village 8 miles north of here called Catterall, with a tiny little corner shop. And occasionally, well, not occasionally, my mum would send me to the corner shop for something that was missing and something that she needed. I cannot tell you the number of times I got to the corner shop and then turned around and walked all the way home and said to my mum, "What did you want me to get?" And she would look at me and tell me and shout at me for forgetting again. And we come to Psalm 78 that Tom's read, a psalm that's been a really high focus for us as we pray through Lent and as we think about celebrating 40 years. One of the problems in this psalm is that the first 7 verses are great. The rest of it, and it is a long psalm, are really, really tough. Because time and time again, it's not that the Israelites forgot a loaf of bread or a bag of sugar. It's that the Israelites forgot God. And what happens in the rest of the psalm from verse 8 onwards is a history lesson of forgetfulness. A history lesson where the psalm writer goes right through the history of Israel and shows them the different points in their history, the important points when God set them free from Egypt, when God did incredible wonders, when God brought his law from Sinai. And time again, the psalmist says, "You forgot God." And the reason we're writing this psalm and the reason we're focusing on verses 1 to 7 is because the psalmist is saying, we're not going to forget again. Whatever the next generations have, whatever God has given us in the past, we are not going to forget his goodness. We're not going to forget his faithfulness. We're not going to forget his ways. We're going to forget his holiness. We're going to remember those things and we're going to teach them. And it begins with a personal commitment. It begins with the psalmist simply writing for himself. And he says, I will listen. I will open my mouth. I will tell the wondrous things about God. I will tell. Personal commitment.
So, Andrew, you're talking about us remembering. Can you tell us some of the good things that God has done here in the past 40 years?
Yeah, of course I will, Dan. I'd love to do that. The thing is, it's not just 40 years. In many ways, what God has done is 2,040 years. The first thing we remember is never what God's done here. It's what God has done at the cross. It's always what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we don't forget that. We will always write that through our history. We've got a high commitment to that. So the first thing is that. But here today, we're celebrating our birthday. 40 years ago, on the 25th of February, 1978, an oak where energized children worship on a Sunday morning and where so much of our midweek activity happens, the oak room was opened as our first worship place. 10 years later, this place was opened because oak and the Sunday school room, which is now the kitchen, were so full. As people said last night, you had to get here 20 minutes before the service just to make sure your family could sit together in a seat. It was amazing times. In 1986, we decided we'd build this place because we felt God, through prophetic words, had called us to, but also to begin a brand new church in Penwitham, which within a year was worshipping with over 100 people in it. And God working powerfully across in Penwitham, working powerfully south of the Ribble. Can you imagine it? Yeah, amazing. But God worked. And then in 2008, we built the annex with the upstairs and the youth hall. We built a coffee area. And who knows what we're going to build next? Let's just sow some seeds for what the future might look like. During that time, people gave themselves. People prayed. The founder members here had a vision when they worshipped at the Crown Lane Free Methodist Church. They had a heart to see something begin in Preston. They began a Sunday school in 1976 that met in a home to begin with and then in Queen's Drive School before this place was built. If you go through and see some of the video, you'll see the farm being knocked down and ready for the new building here. A tent mission. The very first time I spoke in public was at a tent mission on this site, and I told people what God had done in my life to make me his own child. And then Pastor Barry Walton, the founding pastor, says that in the first 10 years here, over 300 people made first-time commitments to Christ. You've got to know that in the first 10 years here, there was an amazing move of God in this place. And we saw his power and his goodness and his grace working again and again and again. And we're grateful. And we won't forget. We won't forget. But then right up to present day, just the privilege of being here. And Ian's mentioned it, but to be a part of you and to be a part of what God's doing here and the way God's working in people's lives. If you weren't here last night, some of the testimonies, we had testimonies through the decades and some of the testimonies of people who've come to the Lord in the last 2 or 3 years and to have the privilege of seeing how God has worked powerfully to transform their lives and change them so they just shine with Jesus. We're not going to forget those things. They're just a few memories. They're just a few memories. But the psalmist says, and we need to be saying this in our own hearts, I will. I will. I'll take the responsibility of teaching my children. I'll take the responsibility of serving God in this church or through this church. I'll take that responsibility. I will make sure the next generations. But then it shifts from I will, and he says, we will. Together, 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 he says, we have a determination to tell our next generation. You could almost wrap that, couldn't you? We have a determination to tell our next generation. He said, we will. And we've got a heart that together we will go for that. We will declare the praiseworthy deeds of God, he says. We'll tell of his power. We'll tell of his deeds, his wonders and his ways. We will tell the next generation. We're not here today to say happy birthday, clap ourselves on the back and applaud ourselves. We're here today because God has got work for us to do. He's got a job that as this church goes into the future, he's calling us to make a together commitment. I will and we will. A commitment that takes us on into the future.
Andrew, that sounds great. You're preaching incredible job.
You were over there before.
I was over there before. I just want to know, what does that actually look like, though? It all sounds great, but what does it actually look like? What are you actually going to tell us this morning?
Okay. Thanks, Dan. It's a good question. You know, any of you, any other questions, ask Dan. So, last century in the 1900s, there was a very famous international Bible teacher called Karl Barth, not Karl Marx, Karl Barth, B-A-R-T-H. And one of his books was a book about teaching the Bible, and it's like that thick. It was kind of, what, if you know the posh name, his magnum opus, his big one. All right, And somebody kind of stopped Karl Barth and after he'd written it, and he said, so you've written this, Dogmatics it's called, you've written it. Can you summarize it in a single sentence, a book that's nearly 2 inches thick? Will you summarize it in a single sentence? I shared with you before about a friend of ours, Mary, who by the age of 16, she was married and an alcoholic. What some of us might call a Glaswegian drop-down drunk. Mary came into our lives. Mary lived with us for a while. Mary passed away last fall November, December, and went to be with the Lord. But when she was 16, her and her husband Malcolm, actually on the streets of Glasgow, some Christians met her. And Mary became a Christian many years later in 1989 through the Billy Graham Live Link mission. But she told us something that those Christians had taught her back then. They taught her a little song. And when somebody asked Karl Barth to summarize his big, thick book in one sentence, he said exactly the same words as illiterate Mary, who couldn't read, write, or add. Exactly the same words those people taught her. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's all. What are we going to do in the next generation? What are we going to say? What's our plan? We're just going to tell the good news about Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus loves me, this I know. 2040 years, and then some. Jesus loves me, this I know. But there are some other things that we want to think about as well. We always want to be a church that worships in a way that pleases God. And it might not always please you. It doesn't always please me. You've got to know we sing some songs here that I don't particularly have a great favor for. But it's not about me. Never been about me. I read hymns every day as part of my quiet time. I'm halfway through hymns ancient and modern from the Church of England. I love hymns. But it's not about me. It's about whether we bring hearts together and lives that please God in worship. That's what worship is always about. Another thing we need to be about is this. I don't know if you know, but by the year 2100, there will be as many 70 to 80 years old in the world as there are 0 to 10 year olds. It will be the first time in history that the spread of ages right through from 0 to 90 is the same. It's always been like a pyramid up till now because there's been more people born than there are, you know, alive at birth than there are at 70 to 80 years old. That's changing. But I love it that it's changing because it means as a church, we have to recognize constantly, and we've said this for a long time now, we're a church for 0 to 90 plus. We really are. And that's not just us saying that's who we want to be. We absolutely believe that the Bible, God's book, calls us to be a church for 0 to 90 plus. Now, you might think we're about the youth work and we're about the next generation. I thank God for people like Ted and Rebecca who constantly work in the youth and the children's work to integrate our older generations and get them praying for our young people and working and walking with our young people. And we appreciate that. We have to be. The next generations are not going to be all 0 to 10-year-olds. There's going to be people like me, but as many more who are 70 to 80. That's if the Lord lets me live that long. Not just that. Following on from that, we have to grow a culture of release. We have to grow a culture in the church which constantly is raising up new people to get involved in ministry and to get involved in leadership that sets the church free for the future. In other words, some of us sat here and maybe thinking, well, what's God got for me to do? He actually wants to put his finger on your life, his hand on your life and say, I want to raise you up for the future. The reason Dan and I are mixing the message this morning is simply because I'm old and apparently he's young. Allegedly he's young. So we want a culture of release for new generations. Not just that. We're bringing on a discipleship pastor next week. Not 2 weeks' time, we're interviewing for a discipleship pastor because we believe God's call on us to be disciples and make disciples is so important. And for the last few years, you may not know it, but in terms of home groups, in terms of bringing discipleship material to new Christians, we've been busking it. God's been at work, that's great. But we know as a church that time and time again, as a leadership, we've come to a place where we believe that it's right to bring on a discipleship pastor. So get praying, because we want to make the right appointment. But not just that. 2.5 years ago, we went to 2 morning services. You're the early birds, and you're here early, which is great. But we long to see a church that's growing out beyond these walls. We really do. And one of the challenges Free Methodist pastors had last year was from Pastor Larry Walkermeyer, who actually preached here in the autumn last year. And his challenge was this, very simply, do you want to be a lake church where the big lake of Fulwood Free Methodist Church just gets bigger and bigger and bigger? Or do you want to be a river church that is flowing out beyond your walls to see new churches growing and people finding Jesus there? Still worldwide, the number one way in which people begin to find Jesus is through new churches being planted. So again, get praying. We will tell the next generation, get praying, because we want to see Fulwood not being a nice big lake where we're all happy and playing and paddling together. We want to see a river flowing out, breaking out beyond our walls. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I keep praying. I keep praying about different parts of the Fylde and different parts of this area of Lancashire and looking where there aren't churches that are telling people about Jesus and asking God, is that where we go next? Is that where we go next? Do we want to be a lake or a river? Do we want to flow to grow? But then the last thing in these first 7 verses of the psalm is this. It's not just I will make a commitment. It's not just we will. It's so they will. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for the next generations. We're here for the new generations. When Dan and I were praying and planning and preparing this message, which is actually really good fun, we were chatting together and we got to this bit and Dan just came out with this line. It's almost like, don't say they will, pray they will. And one of the first things we can do, and why we're praying 40 days through Lent, and why you've got the prayer card for Lent, is not just simply so we've all done Lent together. It's because we want our next and our new generations, whether the new generations are 70-year-old people coming to Christ or 7-year-old people finding Jesus for the first time, we want to pray. And our job, our care, our service is, God, will you work in our church, will you use us to see new generations come to find Jesus? We got that? We're going to pray? Are we going to go for it? Hey, up, Dan's coming up. Take over, Dan.
Thanks.
This is just to identify with Dan this morning.
I'm hiding my hair. True. So we've heard already from a few people the same thing that I'm about to say, but one of the main reasons that I can stand up here on the stage this morning and call myself a follower of Jesus is because of these exact things that Andrew has been talking about this morning. From a young age, I had parents that were committed to bringing me to church, and no matter how grumpy me and my sisters were about it, whether they had to drag us kicking and screaming into the car, they were committed to bringing us because they wanted to see us enter into a relationship with God, and they wanted to see us enter into this community. I've had grandparents that have always been a really great Christian influence who've prayed for me my whole life, and when I had kind of walked away from church a little bit, I wanted to go traveling. I told my grandma, And she just had the boldness and the sense of mind to say, why don't you just see if you can get on the India visa team trip with Fullwood? And on that trip, God really grabbed hold of me and changed my life. And when I came back, I was so excited to be part of a church again, so excited to be part of a community. And the loving, growing community of God's life-changing presence that we hear about really, really hit me. I'd never experienced anything like it. And I remember a few weeks after I came back, and it was an evening service, I was stood at the back of church and I was talking to Tanya Duckett. And I remember she said to me, it's so great to have you back. So many people have been praying for you for so long. And I just remember thinking, why? Why did people care about me enough that they would pray for me? And I realized looking back that it's because they truly understood what Andrew's been saying this morning. And I am just so thankful for that because it's the reason I can be up here and say I follow Jesus today. So we can look back on these last 40 years of Fullwood and we can be so thankful. I haven't been around for a lot of it, but it just gets me so excited to hear about the stories that have happened at this church. And I think we're faced with two choices. On one side, we can choose to say that we're thankful to God for all that's come, but that's the best it's ever going to be. The best, most exciting times are in the past. We don't really believe in the next generation. They just want to preach in caps and no shoes. We don't really believe in them. We're just going to plod on and not look forward to the future with excitement. Or we can say, thank you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you for the countless people whose lives you have changed through this church. Thank you for the countless miracles that you have performed. Thank you for the countless people that you have stirred up to serve in this church. But we're going to say that we're going to use that as a foundation from which to build on, to spur us on, to look forward to the future in a way that says we're going to be excited and expectant for so much more. We're going to see so many more lives changed in the future. We're going to see God's miracles and God move in power more than we've ever seen them before. We can say that in the past, we've seen incredible things, but in the future, we're going to see things that are beyond our wildest imaginations with God. So we just wanted to issue the simple challenge this morning. Will you commit to this choice? Will you commit to the future of this church? Will you commit to remembering all that has come before? Not just the 40 years of Fullwood, but the 2,000 years before, as Andrew mentioned. Will you commit to praying for our next generations and telling our next generations what God has done? And will you commit to praying that they will put their trust in God so that we can move forward into the future with excitement and with expectancy? So, as a response to this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to have a few moments now where we just sit and we pray individually. Maybe you want to pray a prayer of thanks to God for all that's happened. Maybe you want to pray for specific people. Maybe you want to pray for the future of this church and specific things that Andrew has mentioned. Whatever it is that you want to pray for, you can do that in your own time in these next few moments. And what we want to do is we want to say, when you feel it's appropriate, we'd just love you to stand up as a sign of your commitment to these things. Stand up in your seats and then we're going to say a prayer together that really emphasizes this commitment to our future. So let's just take these few moments to pray individually now.
Let's pray. Being rooted. Being rooted and grounded in God's love, we pray. Lord, you have called us to be light in this world. Let your light burn brightly through me. I love you, Lord. Help me to show love to others. Fill me with love for the world you have made. We willingly give our time to serve you by serving our community. We gladly give our abilities to serve you by serving where you call us. We cheerfully release our money and possessions to impact the church, the city, and beyond. We will follow wherever your spirit leads, whether it be local, national, or worldwide. We gladly seek God's purpose for our lives through prayer, studying the Bible, and friendship with Christians. Make us a loving, growing community of your life-changing presence. Sorry. Bless you. Thanks, Andrew.